Yes, good morning. It is Dubai today, but not with Suzanne. She's away for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Everybody is on holiday. But good morning, Sammy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. I think that what you said is true. A lot of people are on holiday. A lot of people have come back from holiday. And I think this topic of jet lag to start off with would be highly relevant and appropriate.
Without a doubt. So if you've been traveling around and you've got a bit of jet lag, you may want to find out exactly what it is. And if you are going to be traveling, then stay tuned as well. I'm always surprised at how I suffer from jet lag, even though it's just a couple of hours. Incidentally, if you'd like to contribute to the show, then you can do. Give us a text. The text number is 4001. You can SMS us from any network, or you can always give us a call, 04-423-1010. So the reason we're talking about jet lag this morning?
I think I just got back from holiday, and I think I'm suffering from it myself. And, you know, knowing what it is, having researched it, I'm always under these grand illusions of like I can conquer it. I'm sure I can, you know, take the right steps and engage in the correct strategies to try and avoid it. But nevertheless, it does definitely affect us differently and in a variation of ways. But especially if you're traveling from different time zones. So if you're passing many different time zones and from North America to the Middle East, then it can be quite bad. And you might have heard this as well, Alex. So jet lag is the body's natural inability to try and cope immediately after traveling through these different time zones. So that's what we refer to as a jet lag. So after being on a jet, there's this lag in the system to try and adjust. And generally, they say that it's better if you're going from east to west rather than from west to east, because when we travel from east to west, we gain time. But when you travel from west to east, you're actually losing time, and that has more of an effect on the body.
So this is generally something that happens when we travel modern day quickly. It's not something that happens if you take a slower journey.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It is related to pace, and it's related to fast-paced type travel and the body's inability to adjust or to keep up with that. You know, being in Dubai at 4 p.m. in the afternoon and then 10, 15 hours later being in New York, it's quite tough to adjust to that time. But again, east to west is much better than west to east.
Mm. How long does it actually take for the body to get over it? Because I remember, I mean, I travel quite a lot anyway, and if it's a short weekend, you know, my job generally was taking me away on a Thursday and bringing me back on a Monday. Mm-hmm. I didn't really suffer because I think I was in such confusion from the...
So where were you going? That would be from...
Well, I was working in motor racing, so like I would be everywhere in the world and every mm-hmm. second weekend. So one weekend I would be, I don't know, one weekend I'd be in Brazil,
right.
And the next weekend I'd be in Singapore, and the next weekend I'd be in the UK. But it never really bothered me when it was those just three or
right.
four days.
No, I think that's that's a really good point, because you were there three or four days, so you didn't really establish a routine in the place that you were visiting. And so maybe because you were there for a short amount of time, you bounced right back to what your circadian, the memory of your circadian rhythm, what it knew, and it didn't affect you as much. But if you go to another location and time zone and you establish a routine, and so once your body adjusts to that new location, coming back from that about, you know, after 2 weeks can be kind of tough. And you can take some precautionary steps before you travel. So it's not just about managing this once you come back. So apparently hydration is very, very important. Drinking lots and lots and lots of water helps jet lags. It's also important to expose yourself to daylight. Many people make the mistake.
I'm glad you said daylight there.
Yeah.
Rather than just exposing yourself.
Yeah.
Don't expose yourself,
express
people,
yourself.
Just to daylight.
Yeah. Just to daylight. Because a lot of people, when they arrive at a particular location and they're tired and they're tempted to sleep, they think getting a massage can be very helpful. But if you go into a room that's dark and it kind of sets up this environment for you to fall asleep, then you're not actually sending the right external signals or stimuli to your system that it's actually daylight outside, and I need to stay awake for another 7-8 hours, and so the body will go into sleep mode rather than wake mode, and that can be counterproductive. So exercise, drinking lots of water, not having heavy meals, making sure that you move around a lot in on the airplane as you're traveling, changing your watch as soon as possible. So if you're constantly calculating and saying, well, in Dubai it's this time right now, but in London it's this, and then now it's in the United States is this. If you do that, the more you calculate the different time zones, the more confusing the circadian rhythm gets. So really important to kind of just switch to the time zone you're at and then take off from there.
See, I never switch my watch. I mean, I've just recently come back from the UK. And what was really confusing me is mobile phones. Modern mobile phones change themselves.
Right.
So every time I look at my phone and it says 5 o'clock, but I know actually it's 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, and my watch is saying the opposite.
So all these different times going on.
Yeah, what are you doing to me? Don't do this to me anymore.
Yeah.
How long does it take to get over it then?
Again, it differs from person to person. It depends how aggressively you try to combat it or how much you become victim to it. So there are people who will arrive at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and by 4 o'clock, they're so tired, so they give in to falling asleep. And so if you fall asleep for 4 or 5 hours, you know what's going to happen. You're going to wake up, and you're not going to fall asleep again until 3, 4, 5 in the morning. Mm. So it depends on how you manage it and how you handle it. As awful and difficult as it might be, you should try and stay awake as much as possible. Now, how do you do that? By swimming. You know, swimming is very, very good for feelings of jet lag, being immersed in water, taking showers, going for brisk walks. So don't try to remain sedentary. Don't be in an environment that's conducive to more resting, that is going to cause you to fall asleep or be more inviting to fall asleep, and to be a little bit more active and maybe even socially active. Surround yourself with family members and friends. Let them keep you awake. Usually they're very good at that.
Children, surround yourself
children at crowded places until it's an appropriate time for about, let's say, 10:30 or 11 o'clock so that you can go to bed. Of course, for the first couple of days, you might wake up at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., Make sure you've got a book handy, you know, that you do a little bit of reading, that you don't feel disoriented or discombobulated. You know, it's a terrible feeling waking up in a hotel room, for example, in an unfamiliar setting at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're not, you know, familiar with the TV, what to watch, what not to watch, and it seems like the whole world is asleep except you.
Yeah.
And it can be quite daunting.
Now, what about if you're traveling with children? How are young children affected by this?
You know, children respond better to change than adults. So what we find is that adults have much more difficulty adjusting to time changes and time zones than children. Children will, for the first day or so, they may not sleep as much, or they may have more disturbed sleep, but they bounce back much quicker than adults do, and that's because they're more flexible in their sleeping patterns. They also take more regular naps, which is helpful for combating jet lag. You have to take some cat naps throughout the day if necessary, and children do that. So, and they sleep better on planes. Well, some kids do, not all kids. And if they have had a good restful sleep on the plane, then they're likely to have a better experience.